Turn in our Bibles then, we'll get some more food. Psalms chapter 8. I saw something in here, and I actually had preached something at Home Green today that I thought I was going to be preaching for you, and was getting that together, and then kept going back to Psalm 8, and this just wouldn't let go at all. So I figured, well, we better go ahead and do this. I believe this is something the Lord have you do. We'll read the whole Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. And I'm going to skip verse 2 when we read it, okay? And then I'm going to come back and read verse 2. So don't you read verse 2 and then we'll get there, okay? So we'll start with verse 1. Well, you know what? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll do it instead of praying after we read, okay? Let's do that. Milton, pray for us. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That's a beautiful passage there, and it all just flows perfectly. And then you read verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And that verse just doesn't seem to belong there at all. That all flows 1-3 right down to 9, nothing to it, and then you've got this glaring blonk. It's like, you know, it's like a blister after you've been working or something. You think, what is that doing there? Somebody should have put that in another place. But it belongs there. It's there for a reason. God knew what he was doing. It's just that it didn't seem to make sense when you first read it. All right? What this passage deals with is the excellent name of God. And, of course, when you read through the Bible, you find that God is called by all kinds of names. Jehovah and the Almighty God, Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty Father. All you could run down for 250 if you went to all these names for God. But I'll tell you what, there is one name of God in the earth that is excellent to everybody in this congregation. Not excellent to the whole world, but it's excellent to this group, and it's excellent to those of us who have trusted in him, and that's the name Jesus. That's an excellent, excellent name. His name is excellent in the earth. His name, according to this text, speaks of his glory. Look what he says again in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Now, and that's true. Right now, for the most part, Jesus Christ is not glorified in the earth. And we know that the Bible shows us that there are multiple heavens. The first heaven, which is right around the earth, and the second heaven, where the sun and the moon and the stars are, and the third heaven, where God is. And that glory of God is above those heavens. Okay? And Paul said that he was caught up to that third heaven. That's how we know those things are there. And he says, thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. But may I show you something? Keep your finger in this psalm. We will keep coming back here. But look in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus Christ came here and, you know, and his name was despised by some. They called him Beelzebub. And they said that he cast out devils by Satan. And you know something? Men reproached his name, but I'm going to tell you, his name speaks of the glory of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, that's a good place to start. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name speaks of glory. And that's an excellent, excellent name. Even above the heavens and everything under that name is going to bow and confess that He is Lord. You go back to Psalm chapter 8, and we notice also His name not only speaks of His glory, but His name also speaks of His creation. His name speaks of His creation. Look at verse 3. When I consider thy heavens. Hey, those things don't belong to NASA or to the cosmonauts or the astronauts. Those are God's heavens. They don't belong to the Hubble telescope and those. And they've got all kinds of names they've given. These are God's. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. His name speaks of creation. And so, you know, it's no wonder that the world has reproached that name, because they want to teach children that, hey, God didn't create this. It just happened through the science of natural processes. But that's not the truth. His name speaks of creation. Look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, of course, we're introduced to Jesus Christ as the Word. And He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Watch it. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. I think that's pretty all-inclusive. That's all-inclusive. That covers everything was made by Jesus Christ. While we're on the subject, look in Colossians chapter 1. There are several references to this. We won't look at all of them. But look in Colossians chapter 1. And the verse we want is verse 16. You can notice verse 13 gives you the context. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Watch it. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. So that name, Jesus, is an excellent name in the earth, because it speaks not only of God's glory, but it speaks of God's creation. But then in Psalm chapter 8, we notice something else, that His name also speaks of His dominion, of His dominion. Look here in Psalm 8, look at verse 4. He says, when I consider the heavens and all these things, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, as one man said, and he's getting lower by the day, than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. And we know we have that dominion. People have domesticated animals. Some of you had steak today, and that was the process of raising beef in a steer or cow or whatever, and then butchering that for consumption, and you ate that today, or you had ground beef or a taco salad. Or I'm going to keep talking. Some of you hadn't had supper yet, and you're going to lose track of this message. And we go fishing, and we catch the fish, and some people have the ponds where they raise fish and sheep and oxen, all these things. Men have dominion over all this. They even have a dominion over the wildlife. Put feeders up and put cinderas in, you know, and sell the hunts and shoot the deer. All right, man, this speaks of his dominion. But notice something. You see the verses that you quoted, verses 4 and 5. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Verse 5, I made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 in your New Testament, and notice that these verses are quoted again in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place, well, that one in a certain place is David in Psalm 8, testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. You see that? That verse, though, those verses from Psalm 8 are then applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know something? The name Jesus speaks of God's dominion. Because you know what? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he has conquered sin, he has conquered the devil, and he will conquer death, and he brings everything under his dominion, under the authority of God Almighty. His name speaks of absolute dominion in the earth. You could go on outside of this psalm, talking about verse 9 of Psalm 8, which says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, and go on and say, you know, that his name speaks of salvation, and his name speaks of healing. You'll remember in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John are going up to the temple, there's a man there laid at the gate, and he is crippled. And he asks an alms of them, and they don't have any money. They're just like the other good Baptists that know there's going to be an offering taken up that day. Happen to leave the wallets at home. And they come up to the temple, and when they get up there, they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Boy, he gets up, and he's leaping and jumping and carrying on there in the temple. And, of course, that causes a great stir because the Pharisees said, ha! We killed Jesus Christ. We got rid of him. We're telling the lie that his disciples stole his body. Nobody's going to believe in the resurrection. Now this man is standing up here, and we've all seen him, and he's walking, and they're saying it was in the name of Jesus Christ that he's walking. So they call in Peter, and they call in John and say, how is it that this man is walking? And they say, because of the name of Jesus Christ, that's why he's walking. And then they say this, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me tell you something. That name of Jesus Christ speaks of his salvation. It speaks of his healing, of his dominion, of his creation, of his glory, all these things. So you go back to Psalm 8, and you say, that's perfect, but what does that have to do with verse 2? And when you look at verse 2, and it says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. May I say this? That wonderful name that is excellent in the earth is a name that is spoken by his children. That is a name that is spoken by his children. You see, if it's such a name that is so excellent in the earth, there are a lot of people that don't say that name for anything else but to cuss. There are a lot of other people that say, oh, that name, he's just a prophet. He was a good teacher, a man that should be followed. But to say that he is God manifest in the flesh, there are a lot of people that don't believe that. And they berate the name. They take away his dominion. They take away his glory. They take away his salvation. They take away his healing. They take away his creation. See that? No, that name is a name that is spoken by his children. And it's spoken by his children in the presence of his enemies who don't like that name. You say, is that so? Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 will tell us why God chose to put that verse 2 in that Psalm 8. Matthew chapter 21. This is the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 8, a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's what Psalm 8 is about. It's the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, that name. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They spoke that name. And Jesus went into the temple of God. That's where his glory had been before. When Solomon erected that temple and dedicated it, the glory of God was so thick in there in the cloud that the priest couldn't minister by reason of the cloud and by the reason of the glory of God. His glory had been in there. Jesus went into the temple of God, cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. If I'm not mistaken, they'd go in there and they'd sell lambs and things like that. I told Ann, I said, this is the first stock exchange right here. Livestock. And they sold doves. And watch it. Verse 13, said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Guess what he did? He healed them, because that name speaks of his healing. And when the chief priests, those were his enemies, and the scribes, those were his enemies, saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, the babes and sucklings, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. God put it in there and said, I'm going to have some enemies, and you're going to know who are my children, and you're going to know who are my enemies. Those that call my name, the excellent name, those are the ones. The babes and sucklings, those other ones, those are my enemies. And I've ordained my strength, and I've perfected my praise in my children. Isn't that beautiful? I'm telling you, that's something that just gets me excited. Listen. Those who are not his children, that are not the sons of God, they are his enemies. And in 1 John chapter 3, we learn that they are the children of the devil. Jesus Christ said they're thieves. They're stealing his dominion. They're stealing his glory. They've stole his creation and given it to evolution. They stole his salvation and said, you have to work for it. They've stolen his healing and said, it's in us. Give us the money and we will provide you with the healing. You see how it goes? Let me tell you something. That name, Jesus, is the excellent name, and that's the name that should be always present and current on our lips, just like the children who cried out, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know what I take from this that is helpful to us and practical to us? Go tell your friends about Jesus. Listen, Philip was one that had gotten saved, and he was excited, and there was an Ethiopian that was in a chariot. And he was reading Isaiah 53, and the Spirit said, go, join yourself to the chariot. And he jumps up in the chariot, and he sees where he's reading. And the Bible says that when he saw that place where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in the Scripture, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus, the excellent name of God. So let's be those babes and let's be those sucklings who proclaim that excellent name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we're so thankful today to see the wonderful, wonderful way that you have written your Scripture. You didn't make any mistakes there. You didn't put a verse that didn't belong. You laid something in there and then set it and said, one of these days, right there, I'm going to have my children speak that to my glory. And boy, did they ever. And thank you for it, Father. It's a great testimony to us. And we pray, Father, we'll ever be faithful to speak that name. And I pray more and more of us will have the opportunity to see more and more divine appointments like that with the Reinas today, where we can tell somebody about Jesus who desperately needs them, and they can get saved by putting their faith in that name. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.